I believe the date is April 3rd, 33 AD. The place is Jerusalem. Jesus has entered the city with his disciples with the intent on celebrating the Passover, but there is far more going on than meets the eye. There's mixed feelings among the disciples as the events unfold. And this morning, I want us to take a look at several of the different individuals involved in the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. This morning, I want to share with you as several different characters. And to help you with this, the name of who I am speaking as will appear on the screen. See, it was a very different day yesterday. John and I were asked to go on ahead into the city and make preparations for the Passover meal. Now, that in itself was not unusual. Jesus knew that both John and I would get the job done. He also knew that I was the better cook. John knew that what he was doing, but his knife skills were no match to mine. What was unusual was that Jesus said to us, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him." Find and follow a man carrying water? Now I've learned not to argue with Jesus because he is always right. But John looked at me and we both knew that this was odd. I mean, carrying water, first of all, that's women's work. And Jesus, he must have noticed, since we've been in and out of the city now all week, and there's actually a few extra people in the city this time. There's a lot of extra people. And so the streets are crowded, and I really don't know what a half a million people looks like, but I'm sure that there's got to be at least that many people here. And this man, I'm not sure what Jesus made, if he made any arrangements ahead of time, but this man, and a name would have been really nice. But like I said, Jesus was never wrong. So we managed to find this guy, and we followed him. All right, Jesus also told us, wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, "Where is my guest room? Where may I eat the Passover with my disciples?" So we followed him and we came to the house and we did just what he asked of us. And the man, this was a beautiful home. It has this upper room that was just perfect for us. It was massive. The people who own this place, man, they must have money. But I bet you could have fit 100 people in this room. And John reminded me that we had a lot of work to do to stop gawking at the room. There was the lamb that needed to go to the temple and the sacrifice that needed to be made. And we had to get the portion for the Passover back to the house and baste it with oil and wine and roast it for several hours. There was all the other preparations that needed to be made. Bitter herbs and bread and wine. Can't forget those. Normally I would have focused on remembering the deliverance of my people from Egypt, but this time was different. I'm just not sure why. Oh, it was a different kind of Passover, to say the least. It was around 7 when we started, which was pretty typical. And I remember right when we sat down, Philip, who was next to me, he leaned over and said, "Hey, Thomas, I feel like something special is going to happen here tonight." And I looked at him and I whispered, "I doubt it." Well, I was wrong. Jesus got up from the table and he went over and he grabbed the basin of water and a towel. And I was thinking, what in the world is Jesus doing with the foot water basin? And Peter saw, or Philip saw this as well, and he said, surely our master wasn't going to wash our feet. I doubt it, I replied. Boy, I was wrong. He knelt down and he began to wash Bartholomew's feet. Man, Bart just sat there. He was a man of few words, and he never said anything. He just sat there and he didn't even move. None of us did. This was not typical. Jesus finished with Bart and went on to Andrew and James and the rest of us. And I remember thinking at this time that this is so strange and yet so incredibly wonderful. And then I thought that I doubt anyone is going to say anything right now. I was wrong. You know who broke the silence? Peter. Peter never could stop himself from blurting things out. There's no way that you're going to do that to me, Jesus. There's no way you're going to wash my feet. That's what I told him. You can wash the other people's feet, but you're not going to wash mine. I mean, Jesus, what was he doing? And I looked him right in the eye and I said, Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet. I mean, you're the king. What are you doing washing my feet? And he looked at me and he said, well, then you're not going to have anything to do with me. Ouch. That hurt. Apparently, I had just shoved my foot in my mouth again. A dirty one at that. And I said, okay, then wash my feet, wash my hands, wash my head, wash my whole body if you have to. It's hard trying to backpedal when you have your foot in your mouth. And Jesus, with a look that I've seen way too many times, he said, your feet will do just fine, Peter. In the midst of that night, he teaches us servanthood. Man, I wish I could be more like him. He's always right. Me, not so much. Jesus was always full of grace. I'm just impulsive. Maybe that's why Bart is so quiet all the time. Man, I've got a lot to learn. Well, Jesus then took some wine and bread and he blessed it and he served it to us. And he said it was the new covenant with his blood. Now, this wasn't the typical thing to say during the Passover. Was Jesus making this up as he went? And I remember thinking to myself that I doubt that he was going to change the meaning of the Passover. Man, was I wrong. And then he said that each one of us tonight would lose faith in him. And I remember thinking right there, lose faith in you, Jesus? Never. But I didn't say anything. I just sat there. You probably guessed already. I was wrong. How could each one of us lose faith in him? How? Well, I couldn't just sit there. I could not say nothing. I mean, lose faith in Jesus? I just knew that he was wrong. So I piped up and I said, Jesus, I love you. You could count on me. Everyone else may fall away, but you could count on me. I will never fall away. And he looked at me and he smiled. He said, Peter, you will deny me 3 times before the rooster crows tomorrow morning. Ouch. I was not going to do that. I was going to not let that stand there. There's no way that was true. I mean, Jesus is always right, but this time I knew he was wrong. This whole meal was different. There was this ominous mood to him. Like he knew something was up. And we didn't know what was going on, so I boldly told him, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples, they said the same thing. I mean, they weren't going to let Jesus down. Then before I knew it, Jesus was wrapping things up and we were heading to the Olive Garden to pray. Once we got to the garden, things got really crazy. I mean, it was late. It was almost midnight at this point, and Jesus asked Peter and James, along with myself, to go a bit further on with him, to keep watch and to pray. And we did. Well, the others, they all sacked out almost immediately, but the three of us, we tried. We really tried. But we kept falling asleep. And Jesus, he kept coming back and waking us up. And this one time I remember him say to that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Wow, that is so true. It was like he was speaking directly to me. I wanted to stay awake, but honestly, I'm a morning person. I'm a fisherman. You don't go fishing at midnight. But Jesus, he asked, and I wanted to obey. I wish that I had just stayed awake. Because that whole time in the garden, it's like a blur. It happened so fast. It's because of Judas. I didn't even know what to say about him. There he is. He's the one you want. You see him just beyond the others praying by himself. I'm sure that you can recognize him. He's the one you're looking for. Jesus of Nazareth. The rabbi. The one who's been teaching in the temple all week. Look, the others, they're all asleep. I'm sure that's not going to last for long. The others, they're going to cause a scene. But the one that I kiss on the cheek, that's the one that you want. Now, 30 pieces of silver, right? That's what was agreed upon. 30 pieces. Forget about the rest. They're not important. Just focus on the one that I kiss on the cheek. A kiss? Judas, you greet Jesus with a kiss? You betray Jesus with a kiss of a friend? Oh, it got real crazy, real fast. See, Peter, he whips out a sword. He just begins flailing. As he's flailing around, all of a sudden he cuts off this guy's ear. And I recognize this poor guy. He's a servant of the high priest. His name is Malchus. Malchus, that's it. Yeah, Malchus. Anyways, Jesus, he reaches down to the ground and he picks up this guy's ear and he brushes it off and he puts it back on his head. It was put back just like nothing happened. Man, things were just crazy. And then Jesus tells Peter to put away his sword. And Jesus, with this incredible calmness and this sense of peace about him, asks them, "Who is it you want?" They told him it was Jesus of Nazareth. And I thought things couldn't get any more crazy until this. I can't even begin to explain it other than when Jesus said, "I am he." They literally drew back and fell to the ground. I just stood there stunned. And after a short while, those who had fallen, they recovered. And then they took him. I would love to say that we fought for him. I would love to say that we stood up and protected him. But we didn't. We all just ran. I am so ashamed. I think the real reason that everything is such a blur is because as I ran, I cried. I just broke down and cried. What have I done? This has not been a good night. I made a bold proclamation, and Jesus tells me that I will betray him. I cut off an ear. And Jesus, he heals. After telling me to put it away or I'll die by the sword, I follow him to this insane trial. It's completely rigged. I end up lying about knowing Jesus. Not once, not twice. 3 times. And on that 3rd time, the rooster began to crow. And its words hit me like a boulder. Peter, you will deny me 3 times. Ouch. What have I done? What have I done? What have I done? Was I so stupid to think that I could have... I don't even know what I was thinking. I've killed him. I've betrayed Jesus. I caused this. I crucified him. For what? 30 pieces of silver? Take it back. I don't want it. No. I don't want it. I've crucified Jesus. That's right, I crucified Jesus. It was a crowd that wanted it. That's what they got. Personally, I have crucified countless people. But this one was very different indeed. Those other ones, they all got what they had coming. But I don't really believe that man had done anything to deserve that. But I'm just a soldier. I'm just following orders, doing my job. I felt like I was administering justice every time I nailed someone to the tree. But that man did not deserve what he got. It didn't make much sense to me. Man, you know what didn't make much sense? Man, there I was rotting in jail for stealing and causing riots and hatred against Rome. And I'm an insurrectionist. I mean, I'm a rebel with a cause fighting Rome. I had been warned, but I wouldn't stop. I was hated by the soldiers. And I knew that the next time I stepped out of that jail cell, it was it. I was done. So when the guards came and they got me and put me next to this man who was beaten to a pulp, and then I hear Governor Pilate ask the crowd, which one do you want me to set free? I mean, it was an obvious choice. They were gonna say let Jesus go. And I was ready to tell them where to go. But then the crowd, they started to chant Barabbas. I mean, they were actually saying my name over and over again. And so the guard, he threw me down to the ground. He took my chains off. And with one final boot, I was rolled into the crowd. And I was free. They took Jesus to Golgotha. I mean, 1 minute, I was a man marked for death. And the next, I am a free because of Jesus. I tell you, it makes no sense. So, I mean, I hung back and I followed to find him. What was going to happen at Golgotha?
I was stationed at Golgotha that day. I just finished raising the second criminal when they brought him to me. I will never forget the way he looked. He had been beaten, spit upon, whipped, unrecognizable as a man. He was hideous. What was left of his clothes were stripped off, and he was thrown down on the cross, and that's when I went to work. Generally, when you crucify a man, the first hand is the most difficult. I mean, the criminal wants to get away, they fight, they even try to bribe. It's not uncommon for them to try and bite you. So I would have two soldiers hold him down. But this man, he was different. He didn't put up a fight. I thought it was because he was so exhausted. As an executioner, I have been called every name in the book. I have had men yell and plead with me, but what he did, I have never seen before, and I will never see again. I wasn't prepared for what he did. He looked me in the eye, and then he said to us there, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." He forgave me.
Forgive him. He said, "Forgive him." Who's he forgiving? I was the one supposed to be hanging on that cross. He took my place. And then I looked up and I remembered he took a deep, agonizing breath and he said, "It is finished." And he died. I'm numb. I just don't understand. There was this darkness in the middle of the day. And I mean, it was dark. A darkness almost thick. Like the middle of a starless night. You could see Jesus on the cross and the soldiers. And those soldiers, they have no compassion. Right there at the foot of the cross, they argued and they fought over the tunic of Jesus. I mean, they ended up gambling for it. Mary and the other women, they were so strong. It's almost embarrassing that all of us, the disciples, we ran off, but the women, they never faltered. Yeah, they were broken. But they were so strong. They cried and they cried, but so did I. It was the most horrific sight I had ever seen. And amongst the tears, to hear Jesus forgive them, I just don't understand. And he looks at me and he tells me to take care of Mary as if she was my own mother. Of course I will. But I don't understand. He's the Messiah. He was to conquer our enemies. I know we talked about coming here to die, but not this. Not this way. I couldn't help but cry. It's shaken me to my very core. And then he cried out, "It is finished." And God himself shook the earth.
Governor Pilate had us put a sign on the cross over the head of this man, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Boy, that sure rattled those religious leaders. They even demanded that I take it down. I just laughed at them, told them to take it up with Pilate. And when the darkness came, I knew that there was something really different about this man. The two criminals, they were crucified along with him, had been arguing, and they finally shut up. It's pretty typical. Reality sets in. And since it's a Jewish holy day, we had to break their legs so that they would die quicker. Well, the men, they were happy to do that. The men went to break the legs of this man called Jesus, the King of the Jews. But I knew he was already dead. So quickly. But his death will haunt me for a very long time. And then when the earth shook, it was right at the very moment that he died. This man, he was no ordinary man. I had one of the men pierce his side, and sure enough, blood and water spilled out. He was dead. And in that moment, I realized, surely this man was the Son of God. I crucified the Son of God. May God be merciful to me. I was just doing my job. I didn't know. But he forgave me. I remember him asking God to forgive me. God, forgive me because I didn't know what I was doing. It wasn't long before two men came, a Joseph and a Nicodemus, with orders from Governor Pilate to release the body to them. They carefully removed his body, and along with some women, they took him and respectfully wrapped his body with linens and spices, and they placed it in a tomb just over there. I've never seen that before with a criminal. Nobody cares about criminals. This man was different. And then some of the temple guard came and sealed the tomb and began to stand watch. Watching over the tomb of a dead man. I went home knowing that something incredible had just happened. I had crucified the Son of God. An innocent man. I just hope that God will forgive me. For I know that this man was innocent. And there's no doubt in my mind that he is the Son of God.